This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Know that theme? Over 240,000 YouTubers do. That tune kicks off The Brain Scoop, the YouTube science show hosted by Emily Grassley. Ever wonder what goes on behind the authorized personnel-only door at the Natural History Museum? The Brain Scoop exists to answer that question. Emily's the layperson's eyes and ears behind the scenes at Chicago's Field Museum. A typical episode might find her browsing the wet specimens collection, gawking at nanodiamonds in a curator's lab, or gleefully dissecting a wolf or a squirrel or a zebra or a two-headed calf. And yes, there is a lot of this dissection on the Brain Scoop. Emily Grassley is here to talk about what you discover looking inside an animal. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
How did you get involved? You have a background in art, right? How did you get interested in the inner workings of a natural history museum?
You know, I realized we had one of these research collections on our campus at the University of Montana, and I was like 3 months away from graduating. And as soon as I went in there, I was like, wait, I could have been drawing these things for the last 3 years. So I got involved with doing an internship practicing scientific illustration, and from there just started to ask more questions about, you know, how does one of these collections operate, and what's the potential of the specimens here? And it kind of snowballed. I started a blog and then a web series, and now I'm at the Field Museum.
Yeah, you've described your first visit to the museum as transformative.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Was there anything specific about it that made such a big impression?
Well, everything about the experience was, like, visceral. You know, you open a door and it has this kind of pomp and circumstance of, like, you know, pressing in the key code. And then the door opens and you're hit with all these smells of naphthalene and mothballs, pesticides to keep away, you know, invasive beetles from the collection. And then that's just overwhelming in the number of specimens that are on display within the collection. And so it was just like an overwhelming experience. And I had so many questions and questions that I didn't even know I would have. Hmm. You know, all of a sudden I'm wondering about the whys and of, you know, the morphology of a whale skull and why it looks like that. And just questions that I had never really asked of anything before.
Well, I want to play for our audience a clip from one of your very first episodes. It's titled Skinning the Wolf. This is an amazing, I saw the whole episode, it's amazing. Tell us why you were, before we play, why you were cutting up this wolf in the first place.
Well, so when we started this program, I really wanted to bring people behind the scenes to what a natural history museum does, because half of it's, I mean, not more than half, it's exciting, it's engaging stuff, it's educational, and it's bizarre. I mean, we do strange things, and one of the things that we were doing was working with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to help the continuous education of some radio-collared wolves that they had been monitoring for years, I mean, decades. And when that animal dies, the research is not over. That's kind of where it begins for us. So I wanted to take viewers through the process of what I did on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes that involves throwing a dead wolf in the back of a truck.
All right, let's see what happened once you got the dead wolf on the table.
So the first series of cuts are kind of like, you're testing to see how thick the skin is. But I don't want to cut so much that I cut through all the way and reach muscle tissue. Once you cut through muscle tissue, you start to get bleeding. And I don't need blood this early in the morning. Whoa, hey, where'd this guy come from?
I know, that's really hard.
Fleas, are those fleas? Sick. This guy had been in a freezer for 2 weeks, and he still has live fleas living on him.
How many dissections did it take you to get used to the, you know, get over the yuck factor in cutting up a dead animal?
Well, the first thing I ever prepared was a Western jumping mouse, a Zappus princeps. And I did this just kind of as a study. I went along with a friend who was showing me the collection for the first time. And she's like, no, you can do this. And I'm like, I have no experience. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'll walk you through the steps. And so I was so moved by that experience, and it took me a long time to realize why. And I thought I might be a little bit perverted because I had enjoyed it so much. And what I came to understand is, like, it's a cultural thing that we're told that blood and viscera and explorative learning is gross and weird and that it's strange. But that's the kind of misconception that I'm trying to get around with the Brain Scoop.
Yeah, because on the Skinning the Wolf segment, you're actually singing a tune. While you're, do you remember that? Or is it subconscious? You don't even realize you're singing while you work, cutting up an animal.
Yeah, you whistle while you work, whatever, yeah. You know. Yeah.
You're enjoying yourself tremendously doing this.
Oh, absolutely.
It's quite obvious.
Yeah, it's specimen preparation is one of my favorite things that I do at the Field Museum and just in my job as a chief curiosity correspondent here in Chicago. Yeah, it doesn't have to be gross. We don't have to be talking about sharks as killers. I mean, it's all just changing the way people perceive the natural world.
Mm-hmm. How did taxidermy become such a big part of natural history museums? You see dioramas full of animals in all of them, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't, I think we kind of take for granted the fact that everybody has a smartphone these days. But back when Carl Akeley started, he's the father of modern taxidermy. And when he was working for us in Chicago, I mean, we're talking about the 1880s, 1890s here, nobody had a video camera. He invented one of the first motion picture cameras called the Akeley. That's what Nanook of the North was filmed on. So taxidermy really rose to kind of meet the demands of what the public was interested in. And it was a really great marriage of both art and science. And that's something that we've kind of lost these days.
Yeah, you know, because museums are moving away from taxidermy and dioramas to touch screens and staying at home and looking on your iPad, things like that. Aren't we losing something here?
I think we are a little bit. I think people are—they're not putting as much value in the hands-on learning experience anymore. I think they think, you know, looking at a picture of a Van Gogh on their computer monitor is the same thing as going to an art museum and seeing it in person, and it's really not.
Yeah.
We want people to come to the Field Museum and to experience these things for themselves. We don't have the brain scoop to, you know, as a replacement for any of that. It's really about getting people engaged on a personal level.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Washington, D.C. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, I just wanted to say I'm a longtime fan, and I've been subscribed to you for a long time. And you've been an advocate of getting women involved in the sciences for as long as I've been following you. And my question was, how do we get girls interested in the sciences at a young age? Because my mother is a PhD and in biochemistry, and I've always been really proud of her. And I'd love to be able to share that feeling with other people.
Thanks for calling.
Well, yeah, thank you so much, Mike. There are a number of ways. You know, it starts from a young age. It starts by encouraging girls when they're very young that it's okay to be explorers. It's okay to get your hands dirty. Asking questions doesn't make you weird. I think that's a pressure that's put on girls a lot more than it is boys. Just look at the programs that are offered by the Girl Scouts versus the Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. And I think it starts with, you know, mentoring and encouraging women throughout their academic careers. And we really need, we have room for and we need to fill these spaces in the media. We need to have more positive females. Science role models who are out there and visible, more people that these women can aspire to be.
Yeah.
So it's a number of things.
Well, in fact, the Brain Scoop's, most popular video by far is a video called "Where My Ladies At."
Yeah.
Isn't that explain that for us? Where that video came from?
Well, the title for the video, I think it was a Beyonce, like a Destiny's Child lyric. But the motivation for that was just looking around the climate and the culture of educational video on YouTube and kind of seeing that I feel to some extent I'm standing alone. You know, it's a pretty small community of science educators and it's a very small community of female science communicators. And when you start to look at the numbers and the people we're reaching, we pale in comparison to our male counterparts. And that's not because we're not as good. It's just we have to overcompensate. We have to work twice as hard to get half the amount of recognition. And that's the same for women in STEM fields across the board, whether or not they're in the media. So it was just, yeah.
Yeah, you have to deal with the comments, right? You get negative comments.
And they can be scary in addition to being gross. I mean, I was just mentioning on my way over here, I was telling my cab driver to drop me off at the radio station. And he said, oh, well, you're going to be on the radio. And he's like, you have a very sexy voice. And I'm like, great, man. I mean, I just wanted to pay you $8.50 to drop me off at the cab. And now I get like this great sexual advancement. Thank you. And I think it's just that compounding in online communities that can really turn women away from wanting to participate.
Have you noticed a change in the behavior on the YouTube since you made the video?
Absolutely. I actually just posted a blog about this today on our Tumblr and saying, you know, I look at the comments on my videos now, and I think it's because of the video that I made a year ago, kind of airing my grievances and putting up a complete intolerance for that kind of attitude on our channel, that now it's my community, my online audience is overwhelmingly positive and encouraging. I mean, I get far more adorable handwritten letters from children saying how much they love the show and they love science and the Brain Scoop than I do, you know, the offhanded kind of ill-founded negative remark.
Great. Yeah. How would you like the Brain Scoop to evolve? What would you like? Where do you see it going?
Oh my gosh, that's a huge question. I'd like to expand our staff. I'd like to be able to put out an episode every week instead of every other week. We have so many scientists at the Field Museum whose research is important and it's relevant, and they deserve to be heard. They deserve to have an avenue for their outreach, and I'd love to be able to help them out with that.
And, you know, so many exhibits at science museums are on the shelves behind, right? You never get to see them. So you'd never run out of things to show people behind.
That's so true. Yeah, 1% of our collections are on display at the
1%?
Field Museum. 1%? So 1%. We have 26 million specimens and artifacts that are held behind the scenes. And it's not because we don't want the public to see them. It's like a time and capacity thing. Like, yeah, it would be impossible to see every specimen that we have. So,
how do you choose? Do you have a pecking order? I'm going to go through this and then this and then this? Or how do you choose?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, who's publishing what? And who is working on something that is topical in the news? And who is just doing something that is cool? So, I mean, we don't really... It's difficult to prioritize because there's so many amazing stories, and we're trying to get them all out there.
Well, you're an amazing story for us, Emily. So,
thank you. I'm a huge, longtime fan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome,
me.
And keep up the good work. Emily Grassley is the host of the Brain Scoop. She's also the chief curiosity correspondent at Chicago's Field Museum, and we got more Brain Scoop at our website at sciencefriday.com/brainscoop.